Her eyes were filled with worry. She had always seemed one of the more distant of the group of students we were working with and ministering to, but now she came to me, desperately seeking help. And in the midst of all of her anxiety, there was a glimmer of hope. She just wanted me to pray. I'll tell you the story coming up next.
Helping you grow deeper on your spiritual journey. Welcome to The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
Welcome to The Inner Life every day at 11 Central. We're here to offer you some inspiration and encouragement for growing in faith today through spiritual direction. Thanks for joining us. I'm Patrick Conley. So years ago, this was back in my Protestant campus ministry days, I led a group of college students to Kaliningrad, Russia, to meet, befriend, and share the gospel with a group of Russian young adults. Late in our time with them, one of the Russian young ladies came to talk with me. Up until that point, she had seemed distant, disengaged, and not overly interested in any of the spiritual things we would talk about. Now, though, things seemed to have changed. With a palpable sense of anxiety, she came up to me and told me that she had learned that her boyfriend, who was not in the group with us, was in some sort of significant danger. It was difficult to understand, as her English, though far better than my Russian, was still somewhat broken. This young woman asked me if I would pray, and if I would pray for him. She said if God responded and delivered him out of whatever danger he was in, she would become a Christian. Now, thoughts just kind of flooded my mind. The teacher in me wanted to explain that while it was good to trust in God, it wasn't wise to try to strike bargains with him. I wanted her to understand that Jesus was worthy of her love and devotion regardless of any threatening circumstances. And I wanted her to know that although we can always cry out to God, some of our own actions carry with them consequences. Well, all of this is true, but, well, in the first place, I would have had trouble trying to express them to her through our language barrier. But even more importantly, she wasn't in need of a lesson. She was in need of God, in need of a reassurance of his presence with her and with her boyfriend, of God's compassion, of his peace. So we prayed. I pleaded with God to deliver her boyfriend from this danger. I asked God to comfort her in her distress. And yeah, secretly, I hoped that perhaps God would answer my prayers and that she would be true to her promise and give her life over to God. Well, in the few days we had in Russia after the prayer, from what I understood, it seemed like God had not answered my prayer, at least not in any way that this desperate young woman and I had hoped. Soon after, our team left Russia, and I've never heard how any of it worked out. So what does it mean when God seems to be silent in response to your prayers? And what are you supposed to do? Today on the show, we're talking about unanswered prayer. Guiding our discussion today is our spiritual director, Father Bryce Sibley. Father Sibley is a priest of the Diocese of Lafayette, Louisiana, where he serves as professor of moral theology, spiritual director, and coordinator of intellectual formation at Notre Dame Seminary. Father Bryce, welcome back. Good to have you on the program.
It's great to be here. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. Yeah, very, very excited to be with you today as we're talking about a pretty serious subject here and one that no doubt has contributed to a lot of people just kind of maybe even starting to give up on God, unanswered prayer. But before we get into that, Father, maybe the best thing to do is to start out with what is prayer? Maybe that's a good way to start. How would you define prayer?
Well, yeah, when I was on last time, we talked a lot about that and different definitions of prayer. I mean, yeah. Ultimately, I think prayer at its heart, the essence of prayer is allowing ourselves to be loved by the Lord, to let ourselves be embraced by him. But still within the tradition of the church, there are different, I guess, forms of prayer. One of them being intercessory prayer or petitionary prayer, where we, as creatures or as sons and daughters, ask God, our Creator, our Heavenly Father, for those things that we need, those things that we want. As Christians, of course, the prayer Jesus taught us has petitions in them, things we ask the Lord for. So I guess, particularly in the context of this discussion, when we think of unanswered prayers, we're often thinking about these petitions that we ask the Lord on behalf of ourselves or on behalf of others.
Yeah, yeah. And what, I mean, what's a reasonable expectation to come to this kind of petitionary prayer to God with, Father? I mean, how should we, what can we reasonably expect from the Lord?
You know, I think that's such a key distinction. And of course, look, I'm going to tell you right now, if y'all are listening to me to give you some deep insight to explain exactly why God does or doesn't answer prayers, I don't think I'm going to be able to give any clear answer. But the distinction you made about when we come to prayer, we ask for things, quite often we come with certain expectations. That God, I have this expectation that he is going to answer my prayer, or he is going to answer it in a specific way, or he's going to answer it within a certain timeline. And for me, that's been the key sort of struggle, is not unanswered prayers, but unfulfilled expectations. And quite often, those expectations that we have of how, when, or where God should act, that's the real problem. And so I think it's something that I learned years ago, the difference between having expectations for God and for how he's going to act and for how he might respond to our prayers versus having an expectant, hopeful attitude.
Yeah.
Two separate things.
Yeah.
If I go there with expectations, well, God, you're going to save my boyfriend and then, or you're going to cure me of cancer, it doesn't happen, then we're disappointed. Not so much because God didn't answer our prayers, but because he didn't live up to our expectations, which are all often unrealistic and false. However, if we pray with this hopeful, expectant attitude, knowing that the Lord loves us, that he wants what is truly good for us, that he's not going to give us bad things, and sometimes if we ask for something specific and we don't get it, then we're not as disappointed. We're not as frustrated because we acted out of an attitude of expectancy rather than sort of rooting our prayer in expectations.
Yeah, yeah. And I think directly related to this is something that frequently comes up when we address this topic here on the show, Father, which is, I mean, oftentimes an accusation can be leveled at us. Sometimes it's from other Christians and perhaps well-meaning. I hope they are anyway. And sometimes it can even just come from within ourselves that, well, maybe God doesn't seem to be answering, or as you're well filling out for us, that maybe he's not answering according to my expectations. But the accusation is because we don't have enough faith, or we're not trusting in him enough. What would you say in response to that? I mean, does God really base his responses to our prayer on our own faith?
Well, you know, it sure seems like it in the Gospels.
Okay.
I mean, whenever people come up and they say, Jesus, heal me, or Jesus asks, what do you want? I want to be healed. And his response, Christ's response, is quite often, well, your faith has saved you, or your faith has healed you. And so whenever we ask, and it doesn't happen, it's quite obvious to say that, well, if we know God is good, then it must be our fault, that maybe our faith wasn't strong enough. We should have the faith to move mountains. And I think that then sort of brings up the question of what exactly is faith, mm-hmm. and how much faith do we need to have for the Lord to answer our prayers? And is it always the case that because our prayer isn't answered, or at least according to the way we hope it would be answered, does that mean that we should doubt the strength of our faith? That is something that I've seen a lot of people struggle with, and I wish again that I had some clear answer to dispel this, because it really is a mystery. I think it comes to ultimately, how do we understand what faith is?
Hmm. Yeah, well, I guess one of the things too is that I've seen, I appreciate what you said, but I think that oftentimes we can get into the situation where we're using that too as another bargaining chip. I mean, we're saying that, okay, Lord, you know, if I can just, you know, and I don't know, people maybe just, we try to bear down. We try to say, okay, I'm going to trust. But faith and trust are something, at least in my experience, that have to, you know, it evolves in any relationship, but certainly with the Lord over time, that we grow to trust in him. We deepen our faith in him. It's something that happens over time. And that it seems like it can be a little bit, we can try to wrestle it into making God what we want him to do.
Oh, I think that is exactly what I was referring to, or what I was talking about. So remember whenever you were a kid and maybe you had a fight with your sibling or your neighbor and your parents said, I want you to love your brother or I want you to love your neighbor. Is it like in a certain sense, we just will it?
Yeah.
Granted, I can will to be kind and charitable, but we just don't like will to love someone. Mm. And the same way, I think it's like I'm going to will my faith as if it's just something that we do. But what I've come to really understand, we can choose to have faith, I guess, in a certain sense, the validity of that. But faith is trust is a byproduct of something much deeper. What type of faith are we supposed to have? Yeah. The same faith, the faith that we have that, you know, that our Uber drivers are going to get us to the place safely, the same faith we have in our government? No, the faith we're called to have as Christians is filial faith, rooted in our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, the knowledge of our own identity. And because we know God is a loving Father, therefore we have a faith that He wants what's good for us. It's not something that is willed, but comes as a fruit of that deeper relationship. So that's where I sort of approach that. Instead of saying, hey, just have stronger faith, hey, what is your identity like? Do you really believe that God is a loving Father? Because that's the type of faith we're looking for, a specifically filial faith.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. Our spiritual director today, Father Bryce Sibley, a priest of the Diocese of Lafayette, Indiana, and serving at the Notre Dame Seminary there in New Orleans. And we're talking today about unanswered prayers. When was a time when you perceived that God was saying no to what you were asking? Do you have experiences of God asking you to do something you didn't want to do? And how did you react? Do you have any unanswered prayer and have questions about that? Give us a call and join the conversation. Our toll-free studio line here on The Inner Life is 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. That line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. Our email address, if you'd prefer to send us an email, is innerlife@relevantradio.com. Well, Father, what are some of the ways that, I mean, God hears our prayers. What are some of the ways that God does answer prayer?
Well, I think a lot of it, I guess, maybe comes to the attitude of what we're praying for. And granted, I think people like, again, it's petitionary prayers. I'm asking for certain things. Lord, let me win the lottery, whatever. We're going to be
right.
Disappointed.
Yeah.
I think in a certain sense, we could go to our Father and look at those petitions and the way that we ask the Lord for certain things, and He grants certain things. I don't know, though. I guess just for me, it's not that I don't intercede. It's not that I don't ask for certain things. I do. I certainly do. And I've seen ways that I perceive the Lord has answered those prayers in my life and in the life of others. But I always go back to, of course, realizing what prayer is. Like any relationship, if I have a relationship with you where I'm only asking for things, that's all I'm really doing, well, then, you know, I'm treating you like a vending machine. Is it really a friendship where I want to spend time with you? Usually, if that's the basis of the friendship, if I do come and ask you for something, you're going to be more likely to give it. So I always want to say in my own life, you know, what is the ratio of me spending time with the Lord, delighting in His presence, allowing Him to delight in me, versus me constantly knocking on His door and asking for things. But even then, if we look at that parable of the woman who comes and knocks on the door of the unjust judge, what does she ask for? Vindicate me against my accuser. I think the Greek is actually, you know, speak on my behalf, the one who speaks against me. And that's in that context, at least, Jesus says that the judge is going to answer the prayer. So I think that this is one area where we certainly know the Lord can answer our prayers. Whenever we begin hearing lies, whenever they're the accusations, Lord, vindicate me. Speak truth into my life. And He can do it if we read Scripture, if we maybe hear His voice in prayer somehow, or He uses another to speak a word into our life. That's one area that I really think that I've seen in my own life. The Lord is pretty consistent in answering those prayers by vindicating me and others that I know against the accuser. I know that's kind of a very specific thing, but it does tie back into Scripture.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like the usage of that passage as well, Father. And I guess it occurs to me that, I mean, even just going into a show like this, when we're talking about unanswered prayers, we can approach it in a couple different ways, can't we? We can talk about it as if, well, what maybe it's people looking for, how can I, basically, how can I manipulate God to answer my prayers in the way that I want him to? Versus, and everything that you're seem to be saying seems to say, okay, well, maybe we can see a seemingly unanswered prayer rather as an invitation into a deeper relationship with, a deeper level of trust in the Lord.
Yeah, and I think if we're going to talk about unanswered prayers, besides potentially talking about Garth Brooks, we're going to have to talk about, you knew that was coming up into this.
Yeah, yeah. Today.
I'm not going to sing it for you.
Might be able to play it a little bit later on.
Yeah. It is Jesus in the agony of the garden. Lord, let this cup pass me by, but not my will, but your will be done. Here is the ultimate unanswered prayer.
Yeah, good point.
That's like for me, like, let's go back to that. Here is the Son who's deeply rooted in his identity. Says, hey, can I not have to deal with this? Can I let this cup pass me by? Can we find some other way to do it, however you want to interpret it? But not my will, but your will be done. So guess what? He had to drink of the cup. He had to suffer. And so here, he was able to accept the Father's will because of his identity as Son and his knowledge of the Father. Now, we wouldn't say Jesus had faith in the same way that we would have faith, but I think consistently for Christians, we're going to want to go back to that prayer of Christ, that unanswered prayer, in order to use that as the key for really understanding what our attitude should be and how we should approach it when it appears that God doesn't answer our prayers.
Yeah, yeah. Always a good reminder that time of our Lord in the garden. So, yes. I tell you what, Father, before we take our first break here, let's go to Elaine calling in from California. Elaine, good morning to you. Welcome to The Inner Life. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, good morning. Thank you all. I'm not sure how to ask my question in one sense, because I'm a faithful Catholic. I've been praying for decades for my oldest boy to be freed from addiction and anxiety. I've been praying for him to, you know, for a Philip to come, for someone to advise him, help him find his way back to his faith. But it's not happening. I mean, maybe in tiny bits, but he's, you know, close to 40 and he's alone, and I worry for him so much. And it's really kind of, it's heartache for me as a mom, and that it just hasn't been answered. I don't know how to deal with it anymore.
Yeah, thanks so much for sharing. And I mean, the pain that you express is something I've heard from so many people, particularly the hearts of mothers who intercede for and pray for their children. And that prayer is probably the most powerful prayer we can have. And it still seems that sometimes it's unanswered. And there's real no clear answer I could give you. I wish I could. As to why it seems the Lord doesn't answer. He still, of course, has time, and he can answer in his own time. The thing that comes to mind is that scene from The Chosen. I think it was from maybe the most recent season, or the season 3, when I believe it was James, who in the show is depicted as sort of crippled and sick, goes to Jesus, "Why aren't you healing me? Why aren't you answering my prayers?" And Jesus gives a sort of a very beautiful explanation about how his sickness is going to be able to be used in the greater scheme to convert people more than if he did heal him. I know that type of answer certainly doesn't give you deep consolation. And maybe we're not going to really come to understand anything until the final judgment. But I think that this is sort of leaning towards another key point for me, is so often when we have these prayers and they're not answered, we want answers as to why they're not answered or what the Lord's will is. And sometimes I think we search for answers of why God permits certain things, or why the prayers aren't answered, or why evil happens. But instead, it might be better for us and more consoling instead of looking for answers that we may never get, unfortunately, to look for God's presence amidst the suffering and in the details of our life and the lives of our loved ones.
Mm. Elaine, thanks so much for the call. And Father, I mean, one of the things that really occurs to me as just hearing the heartache and the anguish in Elaine's voice, you can hear it as she's describing the situation. By the way, Elaine, I think you did a very good job of asking your question, and we could understand where you're coming from, not just intellectually or situationally, but emotionally as well. But one of these things seems to be that such a great care for another seems to be, has divine qualities in and of itself. I mean, this crying out on behalf of another seems to me that that's in and of itself is a way of growing and deepening in faith.
Yeah, and that's actually a prayer too.
Yeah,
I think that's probably in a certain sense the most powerful prayer. Rather than saying, I pray for this specific thing or that thing, the broken heart, the aching heart of a mother that can be lifted up as a sacrifice is a prayer in and of itself. And certainly, I'm reminded of the disciples on the road to Emmaus who were disappointed that it didn't turn out the way they thought it was going to turn out. They thought Jesus was going to be the Messiah. And Christ, of course, explains to them as they walked on the road to Emmaus where the prophets pointed to him, but they didn't understand it immediately. It wasn't until much later that it sort of clicked. And maybe that's something that will happen to Elaine and to all of us, that God's will sort of click and make sense. But what I think is key, and this goes back to what I said, when we look for answers, when we maybe the deeper thing, at least in my life, is to search for presence, is to be able to try to see how Christ is present with us in the darkness, on the road to Emmaus, when things don't make sense and when it seems that our prayers have not been answered and when our hopes and desires have gone unfulfilled.
Mm, amen to that. Elaine, thanks again for your phone call. We're speaking today with Father Bryce Sibley from the Diocese of Lafayette, Louisiana, about unanswered prayer. When was a time, maybe it's right now, when you know that God doesn't seem to be saying anything. Maybe you feel like God's giving you the silent treatment. You got questions about that. Or if you'd like to make observations about a time when God didn't seem to be answering your prayers, but then turns out he was answering it in an entirely different way, give us a call. Join the conversation, 888-914-9149. We'd love to hear from you, 888-914-9149, or send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We're going to go into our first break, but when we come back, we've got more of the conversation on unanswered prayer with Father Bryce Sibley. We'll be back right after this. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas.
Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, and just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers.
All right, there you go, Father. We got it played for you. A little Garth Brooks. Unanswered prayers. Yeah, exactly. This is The Inner Life. Welcome back to the program. My name is Patrick Conley. We're talking with Father Bryce Sibley today about unanswered prayers. What does it mean when God doesn't seem to be answering your prayers, or at least not in the way that you had hoped or expected him to answer, even for very good things, very solidly biblical, solidly spiritual things that are in concert with our faith? Give us a call and join the conversation at 888-914-9149. Let's take a phone call again. Let's go back to the phones and get Jake on. Jake from Rockford, Illinois. Jake, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling in.
All right. I'll make it brief. I just want to address the situation that poor mom was talking about a few minutes ago, praying for her son, and the prayers don't seem to be answered. All I can say is this, and at heart, I'm usually a cynic and a skeptic, but I've seen some amazing things, miracles in my life, two of them that hit me directly. So all I can say is this, the one thing that we are promised, and it doesn't matter what prayer book you go to or what scripture, prayers for the salvation of someone's soul, whether it's conversion from a life of sin or conversion from a false worship of false idols or whatever it is, those prayers are always answered positively. Now, we may not live to see them. We may not live to see them. And if it's a parent, usually a parent does go, you know, or predecease the child. But if you're praying, it's like St. Monica for St. Augustine. If you're praying those prayers, even if you die before and don't see the fruits that you were looking for those prayers are always answered. So I hope she's still listening, and she will take heart with that. You just got to keep praying. Just keep praying and praying and praying. I can't remember what scripture that was. Pray always. I don't know if it was a saint or whatever. Pray always. It will work eventually. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. And a great super message of hope. And as listening to what you have to say, and Jake, and then what Elaine had to say, I think, and again, here we're just all talking together and reflecting on this. One of the kind of analogies I've always used is, imagine that you have a friend that has been hurt. It's like one of these scenes in the movies, and they've maybe been hit by a car or there's something, and you care for this friend, and you know, you drive them to the hospital, and the scene of you carrying them in, and the doctors are there waiting for you at the hospital, and you look at the doctor and hand the body of your friend over, and you don't necessarily need to tell the doctor, hey, I need you to fix his broken tibia and he's got a concussion. You just say, hey, doc, this is a person I love. I hand them over to you. I trust you will take care of them. You work out the details. And trusting the doctor is going to know what's best, and it's going to be in his own time and his own method for repairing them. So, and I think that kind of ties back into like, hey, Lord, I would like you to heal my friend, or I'd like you to stop the drug addiction of my child, whatever it is. In my own prayer, and I'm just telling you what I do, it's not that I don't specifically pray for things, but let's say there's a person that I know who's suffering or who is having a difficult time, or I want a conversion. Lord, here's a person I love. I give them to you, just like we'd give that person over to the doctor and say, I don't know how it's going to be done, but I trust you. I have hope in you. I have that great expectant hope. You take care of it. I don't generally get into details. Maybe I should pray for specific things, but my prayer then becomes that love, that expression of love, and a deeper expectant hope. And at least in my mind, it gives me more peace.
Yeah, yeah. I like the analogy, Father, and I'm glad you mentioned expectant hope. It seemed like as you were speaking, those are words that were popping into my mind too. There's this expectancy. So it's not just, you know, it's not just that we kind of hand it over and just let it go, but rather we're expecting there be, you know, there's things will happen. But that hope too, that hope is founded not necessarily completely in the results that we're looking for, but our hope is ultimately in the result giver, the God who is behind all of that, right?
And ultimately, we believe that all things work out for the love of God. You also, though, have to and this is maybe we're getting into too much theology here, to reconcile with human freedom.
Yeah.
That we could be praying for someone who's making bad choices, who is straight away from God. Well, their freedom is involved in that. And the Lord doesn't force. You can go, I love the prodigal son, and here is the younger son who's living, the older son who's angry, mad, comparing himself to the younger son who's living outside of the father's house. The father goes and pleads with him, come inside the house, come celebrate. But he doesn't force him to come in.
Mm-hmm.
It's his own choice. He may beg and plead and desire him to come in, but he's going to respect his freedom. And I think that's ultimately something that's very, very difficult for a lot of us. As we pray for our loved ones and we want a deeper conversion or we want them to change, to know that as much as we want it, they still have freedom. And
yeah.
The Lord, just as he respects our freedom, will respect their freedom and is not going. It's like you can't force someone who's miserable to come into the party and have a good time. I can't force you to do that. And so the choices that people make that are often self-destructive, the Lord will encourage, the Lord will give reasons to come back. He will send people into your life, but ultimately he's going to respect our freedom to choose.
Yeah.
A very, very profound mystery.
Yeah, yeah, that is, that is. And it's sometimes, let's just be honest, it's sometimes really hard to swallow that. I mean, I'd rather force somebody to, that I loved, you know, to back into relationship with the Lord and back to Mass and back to confession and all these things. But that doesn't seem to be the way of love either.
No, and it's, and you go back to the younger son. Dad, I wish you were dead. I want my money. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he begged and pleaded with the son. He knew what he was doing. But the father's heart was broken. But he never gave up hope. Maybe he never had expectations that the son would come back at certain periods of time. We don't know how long he was going for. But remember, when the son came back, he made his own choice to come back. He had to suffer a lot. The father saw him from a long way off. For me, that's the sign. The father never gave up hope.
Yeah.
And that, that his broken heart of missing his son actually becomes the prayer that he offers to God. That should be our prayer, too.
Amen to that. Yeah. Let's go to Mary now, calling in from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Mary, welcome to The Inner Life. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I just turned on the radio and listened to Elaine and just wanted to respond to her to not give up hope. We have 6 adult kids and 5 grandchildren that I know about. There's some that maybe I don't know about. And the adult kids, none of them have gone to church. So, you know, for years I've just prayed and prayed, and it's always bothered me that none of the grandchildren are baptized or being brought up in the faith, except when my husband and I have them. We, you know, we speak to them a lot. And then last fall, my granddaughter, who was only 11 at the time, announced that she wanted to get baptized. It just seemed out of the blue. We were out hiking. And anyways, she just, we kind of did a crash course with my husband and I with her through our church, and she just came into the church this past weekend. She was baptized, received her first communion and her confirmation. So it just, to me, was a miracle. I felt the Holy Spirit working through her, and it was totally unexpected. So I just you know, wanted to let Elaine to know not to give up hope. It's just, you know, because it's like I just feel like it was grace that this all happened so quickly, and that it was totally unexpected. But I think it's also helpful. I pray the surrender prayer a lot, and just leave that up to God. So, yeah, I just wanted to tell about that.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. I think it brings back the word unexpected.
Yep.
Well, we can have from our hearts expectations, and they're disappointed. We're going to be disappointed. But if we have that expectant hope, when the unexpected happens, wait, okay, this is it, Lord. We know you can do the unexpected, but it maintains that deeper, a deeper core of hope. I do love the surrender prayer. I'm assuming she's talking about the surrender novena.
Yeah.
I love that. First of all, it's a novena that doesn't take you 20 minutes to pray. I love that. And you don't have to pray a bunch of Our Fathers. It's like 2 or 3 lines. I can do it pretty easily.
Yeah.
But the ultimate line of, Jesus, take care of everything. Jesus, and I do that all the time. It's like, you know, it's like that old Seinfeld episode, Serenity Now. Like, Jesus, take care of everything. So, take care of everything. Yeah, Jesus, take care of everything. You're going to take care of it. I don't know how you're going to. It's like, doctor, take care of everything. Here's my sick friend. I do notice, though, and maybe this is an episode that y'all could do at another time, is a lot of the prayers that our callers have had and that I've seen also, really parents for kids who wander away from the faith in the church. And that is so common today. Father, you know, my kids don't go to Mass. My kids don't do this or that.
Yeah.
And I heard a lot my 11 years working at campus ministry, parents who were concerned that when their kids went to college, they'd lose their faith. You know, how do we really struggle with that, with the generation that doesn't have the same values, that often struggles with organized religion, the nons, as they call them? How do we specifically pray for that very, very thing that weighs on the hearts of so many parents and so many mothers in particular?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, very much so. Well, it, kind of tying in with that surrender novena idea, Barbara has emailed in. She says, in my prayer life, I've come to realize that God answers all prayers with a yes if we pray as we are taught. In the Our Father, she says, the first petition is, thy will be done. We must not forget this part of the prayer. Jesus' prayer in the garden, as we mentioned, Father, was heard and answered because of prayer, not my will, but thine be done. And yeah, it's hard. She recognizes that to give everything over to God's will, to surrender it in that way. But yeah, then to give him thanks for hearing and answering my prayer, no matter what it is, but as long as it is his will. That's what Barbara says.
Yeah, a wonderful insight. And I think it a point that I made earlier that for me is so crucial and essential and was really decisive in my own spiritual life about a year ago. Someone who I work with, and I've used this so many times in retreats, I just went through a lot of trauma when she was young, and just asking the Lord for answers. Like, why did you allow this, Lord?
Yeah.
And there was no clear answer of why this evil was permitted. And when she prayed, why wouldn't this evil stop? Why did you let it happen? And she came to understand that so long she was asking the question why and not getting an answer, but she realized that she was asking the wrong question. She should have been asking where. Lord, where were you when this was happening? Lord, where were you when this evil happened? And so he began to reveal where he was. And so that's that great insight, which has really helped me and I suggest it to others. So often in our prayers, we're asking for specific things. And a lot of times we're looking for answers. We're looking for solutions. When instead of looking for answers, maybe we, and then when we don't get them, we're disappointed and we say, where's God? Why didn't he answer our prayer? Instead, looking for presence.
Mm-hmm.
Lord,
mm-hmm.
You know, in my son who's gone away from the church, and my son who's struggling with addiction and this cancer diagnosis, Lord, where are you or where were you? And that, I think, when I began to pray that and encourage others to pray it, instead of looking for answers or for having expectations, which ultimately can potentially be a temptation to exert our own control over prayer and over God.
Yep.
It's just, Lord, I just want to see where you're present in this, because even though it doesn't make any sense, I know that you're in control.
Yeah.
And you've taken care of everything somehow. You're here.
One of the things that strikes me when you say that, Father, though, is that is our Lord's conversation with Job, and yeah. he was asking the questions, and he says, "I'll question you. You tell me the answers. Where were you when I founded the earth? Tell me, right? Who determined its size? Surely you know. Who stretched out the measuring line for it? These are the questions." But I mean, it's the same kind of spirit of thing of saying that, like you said. I think oftentimes we ask these questions and we, you know, we try different things, methods, et cetera, to try to maybe somehow it becomes a vending machine type of theology, like you were saying before, saying that, yep, if I just put the right amount of money in the right way at the right time with the right amount of faith, then, you know, boom, then I get what I want. But that doesn't seem to be the question. The question is, like you were saying, where is God present to us in this?
Yeah. And, you know, and it's such an appropriate question to ask during this Eastertide. And I think in a certain sense, this question of like unanswered prayers, why doesn't the Lord answer my prayer? Why didn't he show up? Why did he seem to be present? Mm-hmm. In a certain sense, you're wrestling with a problem of evil or at least perceived evil.
Yeah.
And of course, we've been wrestling with this problem for millennia. I haven't found an answer. But the truth is we do have an answer. We believe that 2,000 years ago, there was this historical figure named Jesus who claimed to be God and who supposedly worked all these miracles, according to what the scripture says, who died and rose and came back to life and is not going to die again. In my opinion, if that's what we believe, and we do believe in that, it takes a great amount of faith because to believe in the testimony of the apostles, that this guy really came back to life again and is still alive today in his body, then somehow it all is going to work out. Somehow it's all going to make sense. And whenever things seem dark and cloudy, I say, Lord, I believe you rose from the dead.
Yeah.
Counterintuitive as it may seem and as crazy as it may seem, I believe you rose from the dead. Somehow you're in control. Somehow this is going to make sense. Somehow all things are going to work out for the good. And that may be the only thing we can really cling to. Just like Mary Magdalene wanted to cling to Jesus. It's all I got.
Yeah.
I believe Jesus rose from the dead. Somehow it's all going to make sense. I don't know, but I want to keep my peace.
Amen. Amen. Great conversation we're having today with Father Bryce Sibley, our spiritual director, priest of the Diocese of Lafayette, Louisiana, and he is the professor of moral theology, spiritual director, and coordinator of intellectual formation at Notre Dame Seminary there in New Orleans. We are grateful to be speaking with him today about unanswered prayers. When was a time when God seemed to be saying no to you? Or how have you found the presence of God even in the midst of unanswered prayers like we were just talking about? Give us a call. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. Or send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We're going to go into our next break, but we've got more of the conversation, more of your calls and emails coming up on the other side of it. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas. Welcome back to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio. My name is Patrick Conley. My thanks to Nick Centovich, our producer, and Thomas Engesser taking your phone calls today. I hope you'll join Nick, Thomas, and I and the whole Relevant Radio family at the National Eucharistic Congress coming up this July in Indianapolis. Let's all show up for Jesus together. Check out travel packages and also information and details about the upcoming Congress at relevantradio.com/encounter, where you can also get Father Rocky's weekly videos on stories about the Holy Eucharist, deepening our devotion to our Lord, present to us in and through the Blessed Sacrament. Speaking today with our spiritual director, Father Bryce Sibley, about unanswered prayers. And I think that there's some great things that we've been talking about clinging to the presence of God, even when it doesn't seem that God is responding to our prayers, at least not in the way that we expect. Let's go back to the phones now. Sophia is calling in from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Good afternoon, Sophia. Welcome to The Inner Life.
Good afternoon. I was calling to share a brief story about my fiance in 2020. He was hit by a car and was in a coma for about 3.5 weeks. My family has a great devotion to Saint Therese. And my grandma has a different color rose assigned to each of us. So my color is purple and his color is blue. During that 3.5 weeks, we saw roses just about any time we got bad news, just about any time I felt doubt, I would see a rose, either purple, blue, or both. And we really prayed for him to come back to us. I'll try to be brief because he had lost his faith just a few months before the coma. And it's now 3.5 years in recovery of his brain injury. He's functioning, he's in recovery, and we're continuing to pray for him to find his faith as well and recover in that as well.
Yeah, so thanks for, do you mind sharing what his name is?
Comfortable with me sharing.
Okay. How about we just lift him up? Do you want us to do that?
That would be wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're going to go ahead and lift up your fiance to the Lord during this Easter season. He can experience, particularly through the intercession of Saint Therese, the powerful joy, healing presence of the Spirit, the risen Christ, that Jesus could certainly come there, answer our prayers, that his mind be restored, that he can come to not only a deeper physical healing, but a deeper spiritual trust and faith in the power of the risen Lord Jesus. We ask this all through Christ, our crucified and risen Lord. Amen.
Amen. Sophia, thank you for the call. And yes, prayers, Father Sibley's and my prayers will be with you, as well as prayers of all of our listeners as well, I'm sure. There will be some great ways in which we recognize God's work, but even more so, as we've been talking about unanswered prayer, of recognizing God's presence, even in the time where it doesn't seem to be answered in the way that we had expected. So thanks for the call, Sophia. Appreciate it. Let's go now to Justin calling in from Phoenix, Arizona. Good morning, Justin. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, great. Thank you. I'm actually pulling into a parking garage, so hopefully I don't lose reception. But God bless you both. And I was just sharing my experience as far as God answering prayers in ways you don't expect. As my prayers that were answered were always for my brother and that lady that called in, like where, you know, her son was suffering from addiction and things like that. That was basically me and my brother. And also for my father, who was away from the church for 30 years. And so I always prayed for their salvation. And God decided to answer my prayer by taking my brother. So he ended up dying early in an incident that I was involved in and being in the ICU for, push the green button. Oh, thank you. Sorry. He was in the ICU for 8 days, but he passed away, but he had all the sacraments there. And then my father converted through that experience, and he had lung cancer. He lived 7 years after that, and he went back all to the church, and he had the apostolic blessing at his death, and died peacefully with lung cancer, which is not typically common, but he just quickly passed away. And so I was just sharing, like, sometimes God gives us, this world is not always, you know, the miraculous prayers, but he answers prayers in his own way. And you look forward to, you know, the next life, you know, so I was just going to share that with you all.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. And of course, I think it shows that quite often it really takes a vision of faith to be able to perceive how God answers prayers, particularly in sort of these sad situations that you mentioned, that even when things don't turn out as positively as we may have hoped, when there's more suffering, there's possibly even death, that we can see the Lord still working through that. It takes a great gift of faith to be able to do that.
Mm, yeah, indeed. Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it so much, Justin. Thank you. Let's take Sharon calling in from Connecticut. Good afternoon to you, Sharon. Welcome to The Inner Life.
For taking my call, I'll be brief. So there's that prayer that's ask, you shall receive, seek, and you will find, knock, and you know the one I'm talking about. So there's sometimes you do pray and you do not get what you asked for. But how was that relationship? You know, it's God's will, not ours.
So I'm not sure I exactly understand what the question is. Like, how does this reflect on our relationship with God? I'm not too sure I understand the question. Patrick, maybe you can help me. Do you?
Okay, we might have lost Sharon there. Okay. Yeah, I guess. I mean, it may go back to something we were saying before, that, I mean, if Jesus promises us, ask and we shall receive, and yet we ask and we don't receive, then what does that mean about God, who God is, and our relationship with him?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, I would tie it back to Jesus. You know, ask and you shall receive. He asked the cup to pass him by, and it didn't. The ultimate prayer that we know that he is going to answer is the one that is in the Our Father, that his will be done. And so that if we're going to really, maybe it seems like a simplistic answer, Lord, we ask, we didn't receive. Well, it's your will, so there will be done. So, you know, I think you can see the Lord's will being done if you see it within that greater perspective of the Our Father and even how Christ prayed and the way that his prayers were either answered or not answered.
Right, right, yeah. Well, Sharon, appreciate the phone call anyway. And there's some, if you missed the first part of the program, we were talking about something very closely related to that as well. So feel free to go back and listen at relevantradio.com/innerlife. Father, in the last minute or here before we ask for your blessing, we've talked a lot about, you know, turning it over, surrendering, giving it to God, looking for his presence, but trusting in his will. So I think the last question I would ask of you is, how do we not get paralyzed when we can't figure out God's will for us? I mean, if we don't seem to see that God is at work, how do we not just kind of shut down?
The best way is not even try to figure it out. I mean, I know that, like, yeah, like I there's so much peace which comes when trying not to figure it out, because there's no way. Just like, you know, when it was Augustine walking on the beach trying to figure out the Trinity. You can't pour the whole ocean into a little bucket. In the same way, it's not that we don't want to understand, it's not the Lord doesn't give insights, but it's living in the present moment, accepting things as they come. Lord, yeah, it's Job. I have no idea what the Lord's will is. I wasn't there when you created the world. So giving up trying to understand and trying to control, brings, at least in my life, a ton of peace. Ton of peace.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and to rest in that peace is a good thing. You're talking about the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and sometimes I know I can look back on that story, Father, and I can think, well, how could these two not get it? But I'm forgetting the 2,000 years of history, of Christian history, that has happened since then. And when I really place myself, using my Ignatian imagination, placing myself back in the situation, it seems, how could they not get it? How I would be right there with them saying, where in the world, what is God doing here? I don't get it. Anyway, we need to wrap up the program, Father. Fascinating conversation. So grateful for you spending the time with us today. May we have a blessing from you as we close.
Your spirit. May Almighty God bless all who are listening, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go to peace and have a joyful Easter.
Amen to that. Thanks be to God. To Father Bryce Sibley, too, thanks to you as well for being our spiritual director today and speaking about unanswered prayer. Again, you can always go back and listen to any portion of the show that you missed at relevantradio.com/innerlife. Coming up next is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Hope you can stay tuned for that. Our celebrant today is Father Matthew Seminar. Tomorrow on the program, we are talking Divine Mercy. I know many of you have a devotion to that, so you want to join us with our spiritual director, Father John Eckert. Until then, grace and peace.